going. But I'm so glad that all of you are here, and some of you have brought friends, and I hope that you really get a lot out of tonight's experience, and that God speaks to you in a way that you know only God could have done this. And then you'll know for sure that you've had an experience in the presence and power of God. And that's what we desire. That's what's modeled for us in the book of Acts in the early church. When they got together, they had an experience with God's presence. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't just, let's get together and somebody give a sermon with 3 points and a poem and let's go home and have some fried chicken. I mean, they met with the presence and the power of God when they got together. Where have we gone wrong? You know what I'm saying? And this atmosphere, I want to create an atmosphere where we can truly experience God's presence in such a way that we leave here and we have this extreme desire and passion to do something with what we've experienced. That this would be a place where you come and you get refueled, recharged to go out into your world and give life. And that's what we're going to experience. Amen? You ready for that? That's what's going to take place tonight. And so I want to encourage you, as part of this experience, for you to get everything out of it that God really desires for us to experience tonight, you're going to have to give more of yourself. What do I mean by that? You're going to have to give more of yourself. You're going to have to submit yourself to Him through worship, through praise, through lifting your hands, through engaging not just your ears in listening to the message and the testimonies that are going to come, but engaging your heart and desiring for God to speak to you. And He will give you the desire of your heart. So we're going to have some testimonies. Mala, come on up here. And she's going to have some of you share about what's happening. Thank you.
All right. The empowerment that we're talking about is for you to actually be able to do what Jesus did, to share the good news of who Jesus is. And there are a lot of different ways to do that. And I've got several different people who are going to come up here and tell you what they've done. Where's Harry? Harry's in the back. One of the easiest ways, and well, maybe even one of the hardest ways, and I've done it this way myself before, is just to be a friend to somebody. There are two guys here who are friends of Harry's that he made friends with at school, and as a result of that friendship, they were born again, and they have themselves gone out and shared the gospel. So that's a powerful way that you can get involved with being empowered to share the gospel. It's just being a friend to somebody who doesn't know Christ. I would like for Wesley to come up. Wesley was involved with a block party. Caleb, that Nate was telling us about earlier, is from another youth ministry locally and goes to North Augusta High School. And Wesley was a part of the block party, and he's going to tell us about that.
Hello, I'm Wesley. I attended the block party last weekend that Caleb's church hosted. And the thing about this block party was that it wasn't planned by Pastor Nate or by like the pastors at Caleb's church. Caleb wanted this event to happen, and he helped to plan it. He helped put it on, and they kept saying how great of a job that Caleb did inspiring that event. But it's interesting that he invited our youth group to come and join him. So our youth group and his youth group got together, and it was a good coming together. And it wasn't like he wanted our youth to all of a sudden attend his church. He wanted us to work together to make this event happen and to attend this event so that we could work together and empower some people. It was a great event. There was slides and basketball and cookout and live music and all kinds of stuff. It was a really great time. And Tim from the Lively Stones was there, and he held an altar call, and people went up, and people's lives were changed. It was an effective event. And that block party is something that E3 will try to do, and I think we'll be able to do it. So it won't just be this service experience. E3 will also be block parties and outreaches and other things outside of the doors of this church, we can do other things to empower people. So we, in the future, will maybe have a block party or something like that so that we can go out to the people and we can empower them where they are, and so that we can be an effective tool for God. So.
Thank you, Wesley. That was a student-led event. We did have another event that was done in Thompson, of all places, sort of local, but it's a little ways from here, that was set up by some of the people from our church, but a lot of our teenagers attended that event. And where's Jesse? Come on down. Jesse's going to tell us about that one.
Hey. So like she said, we were in Thompson, and this is an area like we haven't normally been to. Like the only person we really knew was from there is Tori. He grew up there. And I was part of like the group that went out and passed out flyers and told people at the event before it started. And, you know, people want something different. You know, they're looking, they're searching for something, excuse me, they just don't know what it is. You know, they were excited when we told them about what we were doing. And it was good. It was a good turnout. And people, I think, what did you say, 35? At least 35 people were saved. So all you have to do is just have the boldness to step out and do something with, you know, what Jesus told us to do. We're commissioned to go out and share the gospel. So as long as you just have the boldness and, the, you know, a willing heart to go do it, you know, God can turn that into something awesome. So.
And this morning, in fact, Jose and a group of people from the church, you want to come on down and tell us about that one? We had another event this morning, and they had a good turnout of people that showed up for that.
Well, we attended a class called Insight, and it was a school of miracles and evangelism. And so my wife had just, God had laid in her heart to step out in faith, and that's when things really start happening. When you can't even see it, and before you see it, you just step out. So we didn't know exactly what we were getting into, just like tonight. We don't know what's going to happen. Just step out in faith and just watch God work. So we stepped out in faith. We put up flyers. We had some people that came out and helped us. We had people that couldn't come. They gave us some pillows, blankets, all kinds of sorts of things. And we just took it out. We took out some food, and we just came out there and started sharing God's love. We just wanted to show people what God is all about. And so we went out there, and people were just coming out, and we just started ministering to people, talking to them about God and sharing God's love. And I saw this man walking across the sidewalk. He could barely get across. He was pushing, he had a walker that you can sit on and actually push. So he was pushing it, and he was just barely moving. And so something was just telling me, you got to go pray for him. So I went over there and asked him if he knew God. And he told me he knew God and he was saved and all that. So I asked him if I could pray for him. And he sat down on his walker. And I prayed for him. And I asked him to do something he couldn't do before. He was a stroke victim. So he could barely talk. He could talk, but it was hard to understand what he was saying. And then I prayed for him. And when he got back up, he was pushing that walker, I mean, a lot faster. And I said, tell me what's going on. He says, I'm being healed. I'm being healed. And he was pushing his walker across the sidewalk. And it was amazing. And there was another, we had, during this event, we were there for 2.5 hours. And we had 28 salvations. And we had 10 miracle healings. And so there was another girl, she had a gout on her feet. And she was... she couldn't move her foot, and she was actually upstairs in the building, and they were telling her, you need to go out there. They're giving free food. They got stuff they're giving away. You need to go out there. She was like, I can't even move. I can't even walk. And she came down, and she goes, I just put on something real quick, and I had to come down because they kept asking me to come down. But she says, so I'm so glad I did because I prayed for her foot, and she goes, the pain is gone. I don't feel it. She said, I had this cramp that it was just, she couldn't even move her foot. And she was like, look at it. I can move it. I can move it. Look at this. She was like, oh, wow. And she was just like, I'm sorry. I don't mean to. She's just saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's just, this is amazing. I couldn't even move my foot. You don't understand. It was just amazing. So the thing is that we have to step out in faith and just let God do the rest. A lot of times we're trying to, you know, figure out how is this going to happen. You know, if you just step out in faith and just let God, you'll see the miracle happen in your life. Amen.
One other really cool thing that happened this summer was we had two youth groups from out of town come and join us for youth camp. And Ms. Kristen's going to tell us a little bit about that in just a second. here you go.
Most of you know you came to camp. How many of you were at camp? I'm trying to see how many were there. Well, if you came to camp, you knew that we had a group from Colorado and Greenville come with us to camp. And at camp, both of those groups, any of the kids that were not baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's what the evidence of speaking in tongues. If you don't know what that is, you can ask us. Any of them that weren't got filled with the Holy Spirit during youth camp, and many of you helped minister to them, and thank you for that. And this group of kids, you know, we had no clue really what we were doing when they came. You know, we didn't know exactly how this empowerment was going to happen. But we knew one thing that was really important. They were all saved, but they needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, why did they need that? They needed to be have that power to be a witness. Because we knew we were going on the streets, and we knew we were going to be praying for people for salvation and healing. And we knew that they needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So all of them, right, at the Colorado group, all of them received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. That's awesome. And many of you helped pray with them, and I appreciate that so much. And I know it changed their life because I talked to many of them, and I'm sure you talked to them too. It changed their lives. And then they were able to go on the streets with us and pray with people for salvation for the very first time. I mean, think about it. You've been a believer your whole life and never prayed with one person to be saved. That's how most people in the body of Christ are. You know, you've never prayed with somebody. And it's not really their fault because they haven't been empowered to do it. But something that God has really done here at Good News Church is empowered us and shown us how to empower others. So through this empowerment of them getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, they were able to share on the streets. They saw healings happen, and they were really fired up. And we had a lot of connections between each of our youth groups. You know, our youth group was connected with the Colorado kids. How many of you have talked to some of the Colorado kids through Facebook or... Okay, great. Those connections were made on purpose because God knew what they were gonna what was gonna happen when they got back. We had no clue that the connection that they made, the empowerment that they got, was gonna be huge because when they got back, just a few weeks later, most of them live in that Aurora area where the shooting happened. And God knew that, and God had prepared them to be able to minister to people. And I know I've talked to Anna, and she told me, you know, that one of her really good friends, that her dad was one of the ones that got killed. One of her good friends, his dad, sorry, is one of the ones that got killed, but she was able to minister to her friend. And even though she was afraid and, you know, wasn't sure what to say, that Holy Spirit that was in her to empower her when she was on the streets was still in her and was there to help her to minister to her friend. And that connections that was made is a connection that's going to be there for a lifetime. But I just want to encourage you that God's going to place people in your lives that you're supposed to be connected to. A lot of times they're believers that you get hooked up and you're like, you know, well, this person's already a Christian. I don't have to get them saved. But they're there because they need that empowerment. They need somebody to tell them how to get somebody saved. They need somebody to tell them how to be baptized in the Holy Spirit because they're going to need it for their lives, for their world that they're walking into, just like those Colorado kids walked into something that they had no clue what to do, but the Holy Spirit was inside of them, and they were able to minister to the people around them, and they're probably continuing to do that. So I just want to encourage you to make connections with people. And don't think lightly of those connections, because God has a purpose and God has empowered you to empower others.
Amen. Amen. The thing that I want you to get tonight is there are so many ways for you to show God that you have a willing heart. You can do like Harry did, make connections at school or with the people around you by being a friend. You can get involved with the people that you know who are a part of another youth group and encourage them, like Caleb. He's giving me a thumbs up over there, to do what God has shown you how to do. And you can make connections with other believers because they're going to need you. We need each other's support. That's vital. And then the other thing is when there are events like Jose's or the one that we did in Tori's neighborhood is to be willing just to say, yeah, I'll go. I'll help. You know, I can hand somebody a hot dog. I can hand somebody a bottle of water. But a willing heart, that's all that God needs for us to be empowered and for us to empower other people. All right, if the song team will come on up, and if y'all make your way back down here.
Are you guys make your way on back to the front? About to go into a time of prayer and worship. Love explode and bring prepared to life. Love so bold to see a revolution somehow. Let love explode and bring the dead to life. Love so bold to see a revolution somehow. Now I'm lost in your freedom. This world I overcome. My God's not dead. He's surely alive and he's living on the inside. Roaring like a lion. My God's not dead. He's surely alive and he's living on the inside. Roaring like a lion. Roaring, roaring like a lion. Let love explode and bring the dead to life. And love so bold to see a revolution somehow. Let love explode and bring the dead to life. And love so bold to see a revolution somehow. Now I'm lost in your freedom. In this world I surely alive and he's living on the inside. Roaring like a lion, my God's not dead. He's surely alive and he's living on the inside. Roaring like a lion. Roaring, roaring like a lion. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival. The fire fall. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival. Let heaven roar. Fire fall, come shake the ground with the sound of revival. God's not dead. He's surely alive and he's living on the inside. Roaring like a lion, my God's not dead. He's surely alive and he's living on the inside. Roaring like a lion, my God's not dead. He's surely alive and he's living on the inside. Roaring like a lion, my God's not dead. He's surely alive and he's living on the inside. Roaring like a lion. Roaring, roaring like a lion. He's surely alive. Roaring, roaring like a lion. Jesus, Lord of my salvation, Savior of my soul, send me out to the world to make you known. Jesus, King of every nation, this world's only hope, send me out to the world to make you known. Send me out to the world. I wanna be your hands and feet. I wanna be your voice every time I speak. I wanna run to the ones in need. In the name of Jesus, I wanna give my life away, all for your kingdom's sake. See a light in the darkest place. In the name of Jesus. Carry to the broken heart and mercy you have shown. Send me out to the world to make you known. To the ones in need of rescue, send me, I will go. Send me out to the world to make you know. Send me out to the world. I wanna be your hands and feet. Wanna be your voice every time I speak. Wanna run to the ones in need. In the name of Jesus, I want to give my life away, all for your kingdom's sake. See the light in the darkest place. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Sing this out right here. Here am I will go. Send me out to make you known. There is hope for every soul. Send me out. Here am I will go. Send me out to make you known. There is hope for every soul. Send me out. I wanna be your hands and feet. Wanna be your voice every time I speak. Wanna run to the one in need. In the name of Jesus, I wanna give my life away, all for your kingdom's sake. Shine a light in the darkest place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Sing that out. Here am I. Here am I. I will go. Send me out to make you known. There is hope for every soul. Send me out, here am I, I will go. Send me out to make you know. There is hope for every soul. Send me out, I wanna be your hands and feet. Wanna be your voice every time I speak. Wanna run to the one in me. In the name of Jesus, I want to give my life away, all for your kingdom's sake. Be a light in the darkest place, in the name of Jesus. I want to run to the one in me, in the name of Jesus. I want to run to the one in me, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Father, that's our prayer tonight, Lord, that we would run to the ones that are in need, Father, the people in our lives that need you, Father. Father, we're not in this world just to live for ourselves, Father, but we're to live and to show people your love, Father. So God, I pray tonight that this group of people, we're gathered here together with a common purpose. That tonight we make some decisions and decide, Father, that we're gonna run to the ones in need. Run to the people who need to hear this message, Father, and not hold it to ourselves and not just be caught in some Christian bubble or some clique or club or anything like that, Father, but that we'll spread it and we won't be silent about it, Father. Just like Peter and John said, they wouldn't be silent about what they seen and heard, Father, but that they would reach out. And that's our prayer tonight, Father. Give us boldness, Lord, that we could reach out, be your hands, be your feet, and we can run to the ones that are in need, Lord. So I pray that we would see people how you see them, Lord. We would love them how you love them. Not any selfish human efforts, Father, but what you did when you sent Jesus to die for us. That's our example. Yes, that's what you did for us. So the least we could do is love the others around us. Thank you, Father. Your love isn't just passive. It's not just something where you sit around and say, yes, I love you, I love people. But it's active and it's demonstrated and it's shared. And so when we speak and when we preach, I think you, it's your love. That's the reason. That's the motivation. Thank you, Father. So tonight, Lord, we sing. We're going to sing, Here Am I, Send Me, Lord.
Sing, Here Am I. Here am I, send me, send me. Here am I, send me, send me. Here am I, send me, send me. Sing that out. Here am I, send me, send me. Here am I, send me, send me. Here am I, send me, send me, yeah. Here am I, send me, send me. Here am I, send me, send me. I'll be the carrier of love and compassion. I'll be the carrier. Light to the world, I'll be the carrier of hope and salvation I will go. Shine your light to the world. I will go. Shine your light. I'll be a carrier of love and compassion. I'll be the carrier of light to the world. I'll be the carrier of hope and salvation. I will go. Shine your light to the world. I will go. Shine your light to the world. To the world. Sing, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the broken hearted, to make you known even more. This is why. So that people living in darkness will see the great light. I'll be the carrier of love and compassion. I'll be the carrier of light to the world. I'll be the carrier of hope and salvation. I will go. Shine your light to the world. I will go. Shine your light. I'll be the carrier of love and compassion. I'll be the carrier of light to the world. I'll be the carrier of hope and salvation. I will go. Shine your light. Here will my send me. Here will my send me. Yeah. See, here will my send me. See, here will my send me.
Father, that's our prayer tonight, Lord. We desire to be the carrier, Father. You've shown us your great love. You've personally shown your love for us, Father. You sent Christ to die on the cross in place of all sin, in place of all punishment. He became our disease. He was punished and tormented in our place. And we're aware of that tonight, Father. And I pray, Father, that the gospel, that Jesus will be the center of our faith, not us. And we'll cling to Jesus. We'll follow him. That we've made the decision, we've made Jesus the Lord of our lives, that we'll no longer live to and for ourselves, but we'll live for you. And not only will we live for you, but we'll live with you, working together with you, winning the lost, opening blind eyes, healing the sick, raising the dead, sharing your love, working together with you. We're not only mere servants, Father, we realize that we're children. We're your beloved children and who you're well pleased. And we're your beloved children in whom you desire to use. You've made us. You've made us worthy. You counted us worthy. You've empowered us. You've enabled us. And here's our prayer tonight, Father God, that we're responsible for what we know. We know that you've sent your son to die on the cross for all. And your word says that we wouldn't live to and for ourselves, but we'll live for the one who died and rose again for all. So that all will have the same opportunity that we've received. That since we're aware that we've received Christ, who are we to neglect anybody else of that opportunity? Who are we to neglect anybody else? And you know what? There may be some of you out there right now that may be at that place where you say, you know what? I'm not there yet. I don't have that passion. You know what? That's okay, because I've been there several times where, you know, I would watch a lost person, you know, a person pass through where I know I could share the gospel with them. But I let that person pass by. But you know what? I didn't beat myself up about it. All you got to do is say, Lord, I realize now that I'm not willing. Here's a prayer that you can pray. Lord, help me to be willing. I'm willing. I'm willing to be willing. That's it. I'm willing to be willing. So go, it's all right. Dress up, you know, let them know that you may not be there yet. But be willing to be willing. Because when you pray that prayer of faith, immediately once you say that, he's going to come and flood your life like rain. He won't let you down. He won't let you fall. He'll get you to that high. He'll give you that passion. He'll ignite a fire within you. So, Father, that's our prayer tonight. We're willing to be willing, Lord. We thank you that your word says that you work in us to willing to do your good pleasure. That means you give us the desire and you give us the power. You strengthen us. You enable us to do what pleases you. You've given us the commission to go out into every man's world, seeing that no man is lost. You said that you desire that all men be saved. So, Father, we just come to you in prayer tonight, Lord. And we're here to align our hearts with yours, Father. So for those that are unwilling, be willing to be willing. And those that are willing, already willing, I thank you, Father, that you'll even ignite. You'll flame, you'll fan the fire even more, Father. You'll fan the flame even more. So that's our prayer tonight, Father. We're willing to be willing. We're willing to be willing. Your word says that you look to and fro across the world, looking for somebody to show yourself mighty and strong in. And the realization, here's what's going on. God is looking to and fro across the earth. And right now, there's a third of the world that are Christians right now, about 2 billion Christians on planet Earth. There are literally billions of Christians that God is looking to and fro across the earth until he can find somebody who is willing. So that may be you, that may be whoever, but God, he's looking for somebody that he can be a vessel in. We are the very windows through which God is displayed. If we don't let our windows up, if we don't share the gospel, the word says, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they hear without a preacher? That preacher is you. That preacher is you. You've got friends. You've got loved ones. You've got strangers. Just go to someone. If you're embarrassed, just go to someone that you don't, you know, just walk the streets and find a stranger. I mean, you know, for the sake of embarrassment, you won't be embarrassed. Just blast them with the gospel, you know. So God is looking for you. He's looking for somebody he can show himself mighty and strong in. So, Father, that's our prayer tonight. We're going to sing that out a few more times. Here am I. Just sing this out. Here am I, send me, send me. 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 I'll be the carrier. I'll be the carrier of love and compassion. I'll be the carrier of light to the world. I'll be the carrier of hope and salvation. I will go shine your light to the world. I will go shine your light to the world.
I feel like I want to read Isaiah 6 to you. You know, we sing those lyrics, here am I, send me, and it sounds great, right? It's a great lyric, but it's also biblical. I'm going to read this to you in Isaiah chapter 6 and share some thoughts that kind of add to what Tori said. In the NIV, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah here is having a vision. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth, and he said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people." And he gives them some instruction about what to tell his people. But just to echo what Tori was saying, I believe God is asking the same question tonight. Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Who is there that's going to take this message to their world? And so when you sing a lyric like that, it's more than just a song on a screen. It has to be something that's spoken from deep within your heart. Because if you just say it and don't do it, it's empty. You're speaking it in vain. They're useless words. It's an empty promise. And I don't know about you, but I don't like receiving an empty promise. I want a promise to be made, to be fulfilled. And so when you're saying that, "Here am I, send me," you're submitting yourself, you're committing yourself to this cause. And it can't just be empty words. So if you don't mean it, don't say it. If you don't mean it, don't sing it. But if you do, say it with everything you've got. Sing it with your whole heart and your soul and your strength. Shout it from the rooftops. "Here am I. Send me. I'll go. I'll be the one. You're looking for somebody. I'm here." And I love that because it's not a question of your ability tonight. It's a question of your availability. Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you available to God? Because you know what? He will equip you. He will empower you. He will give you everything you need to be the witness that He's asking you to be. You just have to make yourself available to Him. And so with that, let's sing it again. And let's, if you don't mean it, don't say it. Nobody's going to judge you. But don't make an empty promise. If you mean it, sing it with all you got. "God, I'm available to you." That's all you got to say. "I'm available. I'm available." He's asking you the question, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" What is your response tonight? I know mine.
"Here am I, send me, send me. Here am I, send me, send me. Here am I, send me, send me. Here am I, send me, send me."
Check that out.
"Here am I, send me, send me. Here am I, send me, send me, yeah. Here am I, send me, send me. Here am I, send me, send me. I'll be the carrier of love and compassion. I'll be the carrier of light to the world. I'll be the carrier of love and compassion. I will go shine your light to the world. I will go shine your light. I'll be the carrier of love and compassion.
Here we are, God. Here we are. We're available to you. We will go shine your light to our world. We won't hide it. We won't diminish it, but we will set it on display. Your light. We will let our light so shine before men so that they may see our good works and glorify you. May you be glorified and honored in everything that's said and done here tonight as we experience more of your presence and your power, as we experience you in a tangible way, Father. These students, I pray for them that they would leave here changed. They would leave here different. They would leave here encouraged, inspired, and empowered by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to reach their worlds with the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can just quietly make your way back to your seat. I want to share some things from the Word of God with you tonight. And we'll do some other stuff. Hallelujah. It was good. Thank you, guys. Tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit about what I've labeled as the battle for boldness. So if you're taking notes tonight, you want to write that at the top of your page, the battle for boldness. I believe when you say a prayer like that or make a statement like that, here am I, send me, what's taking place is you're opening yourself up for opportunities to come your way. Because, when you say, here am I, send me, and you make a statement like that, guess what God's going to do? Send you. You'll be sent. You'll be sent, and what's going to happen is there's going to be people coming, and you'll come into contact with people as a result of you saying that prayer, saying those words. And there'll be opportunities that if you're not aware of them, if you're not ready for them, they will pass you by. And Tori mentioned that a little bit in what he was saying up there. And certainly do not beat yourself up if those moments come by, but let what I'm going to share with you be an example and a lesson for you. I've had so many of those moments, those missed opportunities, that every single one I've had that I've regretted, I've made it a mile marker, and I've made this statement: I will never do that again. You ever said that? Anybody ever said that? Okay, maybe I'm the only imperfect person in here. Nobody else has had a moment like that. That's good. Good for you. I'll just preach to myself tonight. That's great. So if you've ever had a moment like that where you said, I am never going to do that again, I'm never going to miss an opportunity like that again, then you can identify with what I'm about to share with you. Because I've had those moments, I've shared with you about those moments, and you've heard me say about those moments, I will never have a moment like that, a missed opportunity like that again. Yet it continues to happen. And it's because of the battle for boldness. And certainly I've had opportunities where I've taken them and God's shown himself mighty and strong and able in those situations. As a matter of fact, the very first notable miracle that God used me to perform was when we were in Jamaica on a mission trip. And the first, I remember years and years and years ago just having this desire to see a miracle, not just work a miracle, but to see one. And then it grew from just seeing one to working a miracle. And, God fulfilled that desire when we were in Jamaica in 2000 and something. Seven? Was it seven? Yeah. Wow. Okay. I was thinking 05 for some reason. No? Okay. You're right. I'm wrong. So here we are in Jamaica, and we're having this outreach kind of service and an outdoor service at this church that we were partnering up with, and we were doing our thing up front. But then, as a part of that, we were also encouraged and told to minister to people as they came walking by and walking up, and so we encountered some people. They were coming in and walking up, and I see this guy, and he's texting on his cell phone, and I go over and start talking to him, and I realize afterward that he couldn't hear me. He was deaf, and so he started typing on his screen, I can't hear you or whatever. And So I was like, okay, you know, I'm inspired. Let's do something about this. And we ministered to them, and I quickly ran and grabbed some help because I was like, this guy's deaf. And so I went and grabbed Andre was there, and I grabbed Andre. I was like, come on, man, let's do this. This guy's deaf, and let's pray for him. And sure enough, we prayed for him, and his ears popped open, and he could hear. And from there, I was just like, I was like on cloud 3,000, you know what I'm saying? Forget cloud 9. I just bypassed that and shot off like a rocket. And so I'm just looking around. Is there anybody else? Who could I pray for? So I grab this, see this other lady, and she's got back pain, and we just zap her with the power of God, and she's healed instantly. And then we see this other guy, and he comes walking up, and he's got cataracts over his eyes, and you can see they're like glossy and glazed over. I'm like, dude, what's wrong with your eyes? And he said, I can't see. And they begin to tell us about the cataracts, and we pray for him. I put my hands over his eyes, and we ministered to him, and I stepped back, and you could literally almost see the cataracts fall off. And I stepped back and held fingers up, and he could, you know, see from a further distance that he was elated, and I was elated, and it was something that I had never experienced before. And I'm like, this is amazing. This is amazing. And I come back, and from just having this high with Jesus, and you can do that wherever you go. You don't have to go to a third world country to do those types of things. And so we come back, and I'm at Walmart. And I walked by, and this was probably just a few weeks after we gotten back from this trip, you know, and God used me to heal this deaf guy. And I see this guy in the customer service line, and he's doing sign language. And I just feel this tugging on my heart, and God, you know, just God just directed me to go and minister to this guy, right? And so in that moment, I chickened out. Yeah, you're like, you wanted the happy ending, right? In that moment, I chickened out, you know. It was truly a battle. It was the battle for boldness. And in that instance, I lost. You know, I learned something, but I lost. And I remember telling you a similar story about a guy I saw in Wingstop during the shockwave challenge. I saw this guy come in, and he was deaf, and I'm like, I don't know why God keeps sending me these deaf people, because I don't know what's going on. It's like I keep chickening out on these deaf folks. And so he sends, you know, I just know in the pit of my stomach, I know in my heart of hearts that I need to talk to this person, yet I'm concerned about how to even communicate. And I guess that's where the hang-up comes in, and where the battle for boldness, I seem to keep losing. So the guy in Wingstop, he walks out, and you know, I don't do anything. Boo. The end. Okay. So we're on vacation in Hilton Head Island. And the last day of our vacation, this was a couple weeks ago, and God set me up again, right? So we're out shopping at the Tanger Outlets. Woohoo! Got some awesome deals. Hey, this is one of my new shirts. You guys like that? Pretty cool. $4. Yeah. From the Gap. I don't think I've ever owned anything from the Gap, but now I've got a $4 Gap shirt. All right. That is a steal. So it's not about the clothes. It's about the woman that we met. So we're walking around, we're doing our thing, we're going to the fudge shop, because I promised Karis I'd get her some candy, right? Make her happy. And so we're walking into the fudge shop, and I see this lady. She's sitting out on the bench, and she's got her wrist wrapped up in one of those little, it wasn't an ace bandage, it was more like a wrist brace, thank you. And she's got this brace on, and I'm like, okay, man, I can do this. I got this. And I just sense on the inside, as we're walking in there, I need to pray for this woman. But I was like, okay, I'll do it on the way out. And I prayed for plenty of people with wrist braces, and God sealed them instantly. And I'm like, yeah, my confidence is soaring, right? And so on the way out, while we're in there, the same woman walks in, and she talks to the clerk behind the counter, and she says the word napkin, but in the way that she says it, I could tell that she was deaf as well. And right at that moment, I'm like, no, not again. And this battle on the inside taking place. So at this point, I almost, I'm almost completely sure that I'm not going to even do anything, right? Not going to talk to her, just continue my shopping trip. Because I was like, I was already defeated on the inside. Can I just be real with you guys tonight? Anybody ever been there? I mean, I was already like, I was pumped about praying for her wrist before, but then now she's deaf. As if that's a bigger thing to God, right? Does that make sense? We classify these things. Oh, cancer? Whoa, I ain't praying for cancer, man. No way. Bring me your headache. I can do something about that. Bring me your pinky that's got a little splinter in it. I can do that. But, you know, ears? Whoa. Deafness? Whoa. Blind eyes? Hey, watch out. But aren't these the types of works that Jesus said we could do when he classified the works of Jesus? These are the works of Jesus. Unstopping deaf ears. That, I mean, yeah, he probably healed a few headaches along the way. He probably took care of a few splinters in people's pinkies. But the majority of the things that we hear of are like notable, astonishing, blind eyes open, lame legs walking, dead being raised. And this is the classification of the works that we are empowered to do. Yet we classify them on a different scale. And our finite minds almost set us up for defeat every single time. And this is the battle for boldness. Is our spirit man going to be victorious in that instance? Are we going to rise up in boldness and face our fear? Are we going to tell our flesh, our mind, and our body to shut up and let spirit man rise up and do his thing? Or are we going to chicken out and be a coward? So we walk out the door of the fudge shop, and there she is on the same bench as before. And we were going the opposite direction because I had already decided I'm done. I'm not doing. No. I'm on vacation. I did the whole I'm on vacation thing then because she was deaf. And I didn't feel like praying. I didn't feel like going for that. But the lady, she catches Karis's attention. Gotta love my daughter. So Karis will talk to a stranger for like 15 minutes in Target. She did that the other day. I'm like, you need an outreach partner? Just take Karis with you. She'll talk to anybody. You need somebody to break the ice? There you go. She's great. So the lady, and I see her, she's doing this, which is the sign for what? Anybody know that? Beautiful. Beautiful. She's talking to Karis. She's saying, you're beautiful. And so I was like, okay, Karis, we need to go over there and you need to say thank you. So I'm teaching her sign language. Thank you. And so what little that I know. So we kind of begin talking to her, and she's great at reading lips, you can tell. And so I began to talk to her a little bit, and I asked her about her wrist. I'm like, let's start there. Ask her about her wrist, and she said that she had broken it, cutting hair of all sorts. I was like, man, that must have been some hairdo right there. You cut your break your wrist on that. And she's like, you know, it's getting better and all that stuff. And I asked her, can I pray for you? Can I pray for your wrist? And so I pray for her, and like immediately before I could even say anything, this is how the whole thing went down, and I'm so discouraged about how it all ended up. So it's not, just to, you know, tell you, it's not a happy ending, Tori. I just feel ashamed even telling you all. But it's for your benefit. So I ask her, can I pray for you? And she agrees. And immediately she bows her head. So I'm like, okay, how am I going to communicate to her how I'm going to pray? So I'm like, well, just pray. So I just pray, and then I ask her. She looks up. I don't know how she knew I said amen, I guess because I let go of her hand. But she looked up, and I said, can you take it off? Can you do something you couldn't do? And she says, oh, it's good. You know, it's fine. And so then I just kind of, you know, did the whole God bless you and walked away. But as I walked away, I'm like, you bonehead. You totally goofed on that one, you know? Anybody ever goofed? Anybody ever goof moment? Can I, please, make me feel better. Okay. Thank you. And I'm thinking to myself as I walk away, beating myself up just a tad, because sometimes you need to kick yourself a little bit. I'm thinking to myself, self, you said to yourself that you would never do this again, that you wouldn't let this type of opportunity pass by, yet you did. And it wasn't just the type of thing that just took place there. It was clearly a God opportunity. It was clearly God getting my attention here. Like in those other things, you can walk by and not do anything. But in this one, it's like she even initiated. Oh! Oh! You know, I'm like, I almost want to tell my wife, slap me one time so I can just snap out of this. And there's the battle. There's the battle for boldness. And I'm not talking about boldness as in walking up to a complete stranger and asking to pray for them. I prayed for her, okay? Understand this. And for many of you, you're like, that's so far. I mean, you would have lost the battle even at that moment, okay? I did. While I was in the fudge shop, she came in. I recognized that she was deaf. I lost the battle right there. But you know what? I was ready. I was able to go back in. Sometimes you can lose the battle and then get right back in the battle. You know, it's like you're playing a game of basketball and you can miss a shot, but then you don't quit the game. You know, you get right back in there and you play and you continue down the court and you play defense and then you go and you get the ball back and you go and do a slam dunk. And I was hoping that this other opportunity would be the slam dunk, but it didn't end up that way. It was another botched layup. So it was like clearly this God moment, this God opportunity staring me right in the face because she grabbed our attention and she was the one initiating, and it was like God giving me another chance, you know? Stop it. It was like God giving me this other chance to minister to someone who clearly needed it. I mean, how much could somebody's life change if they all of a sudden could hear when they couldn't before? That's a complete game changer, right? It really is. Let's look at some scripture to encourage us all some more. I don't want to have any more of these stories. You know what I mean? I want to win that battle every time. And I believe that we can. Because I believe that courage, and the scripture talks about it in the frame of fearless confidence, courage is something that we all are capable of. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's the mastery of it. It's overcoming fear. Courage doesn't mean there is no fear. Courage means that you overcome that fear. So let's look in Acts chapter 4. In the NIV here. This is the prayer that the believers pray when Peter and John come back to them after being threatened to never to teach or preach again in the name of Jesus. And I've said this before, but a lot of times we don't even have to be threatened to not preach or teach in the name of Jesus. We're already quiet. We're already silent. We're already not teaching or preaching in the name of Jesus. So you don't really have to threaten us. But here is the threats. They're going to be thrown in prison if they continue to do so. The threat of prison, the threat, and many people across the world, the threat of death even is what they're facing. Yeah, they pray. They get together with the other believers, their company, and they pray this way. Verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit and through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Those things they mentioned there. Verse 28. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And I pointed out to this to you guys on Wednesday, those of you who were here. Isn't it interesting that they say that they spoke the word of, that they were filled with the, that they were filled, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly? Didn't they just receive the Holy Spirit? Weren't they all just filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2? It seems repetitive, right? I mean, weren't they already filled with the Holy Spirit? Why would this need to take place again? Anybody else find that interesting? As we pointed out on Wednesday night, it was a refilling. It was a, the scripture talks about in Ephesians 5, to be being filled, to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And I said that they must have felt depleted a little bit when they came back. And then guess what happened after they prayed? And God responds. And the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Spirit. And guess what? Their prayer was answered. They spoke the word of God boldly. They pray. Lord, consider their threats. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Another translation says, with fearless confidence. And then immediately after they pray, God responds, filled with the Holy Spirit, and spoke the word of God boldly. All right, go to Ephesians chapter 6 real quick. We'll tie these together. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. This is after Paul is explaining to the Ephesians the armor of God. He says in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. He says this, pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And think about somebody like Paul, somebody like Peter and John, you know, these examples for us, these examples for our faith, that they're praying these types of prayers that we should be praying. Praying that we should declare the word of God with fearless confidence. Praying that we would fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. To declare it fearlessly as we should. And this is the type of prayer that I believe we should be praying on a consistent basis. Shut up. That we should declare the word of God fearlessly. And I believe that as a result of praying prayers like that, God responding, that we can win this battle for boldness every single time. That we won't chicken out in the face of an opportunity. That we won't go halfway and just, you know, pray a weak, wimpy prayer for somebody that we're ministering to. Ever been there? That's kind of what happened with the deaf lady with the wrist thing. It was a weak prayer. It was wimpy. It wasn't even a consolation prize. You know what I'm saying? God's best was for her to be completely whole. And it wasn't her fault. I'd sang the song, "Here am I, send me." He sent me. But yet, I didn't do all that he sent me to do. So pray for me that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray for each other that we may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, that we'll have no more wimpy moments. We won't be a miracle wimp anymore. That we will finish what he sent us to do. Because the ultimate response, when you work that miracle, when you fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, is a changed life. And that's what he's sending us to do. So I want to end this part by us praying together, praying that type of prayer, that we would fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And I want to do that in this manner. If you would just partner up with about four people right now. Just grab somebody around you, and you guys kind of catch hands and pray for each other. And then I'll pray.